Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show. Happy Labor Day weekend to all of you. This is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values through the lenses of the scripture, also our deep and abiding faith in God. And so I hope it's a meaningful program now, over 20 years here on News Talk 1110 WBT. Many thanks to my friends at Ruth Chris Steakhouse and also Perry's Fine Jewelry for your support of the program. Without your sponsorship, I could not do this on a weekly basis, and I hope that this program gives you hope. Around WBT, I'm known as the Hope Guy. I hope I'm even known that way in my family and throughout the city because I love to give people hope. I don't believe you can live one day without hope. So this Labor Day show, tomorrow is Labor Day, is dedicated to the idea of hope in our work, because I really believe work is a good gift from God. He wants us to work. He wants us to enjoy work. And therefore, I have as my heartbeat to work well unto Him, because I know that that's a gift from Him. And when I flow in His will, I can enjoy work. Ed Billick, my friend and producer, has his mic open with me. We dialogue throughout the show together. Ed, as you look at Labor Day, it's kind of a weird time in Labor Day, because before, Labor Day kind of symbolized the end of summer, the kind of beginning of fall, but also the beginning of football season, yet football's been delayed and we don't know exactly what's going to happen with the whole season. How do you feel this Labor Day?
David, you know what's interesting, and we've been talking about 2020 and what a crazy year, because you had hockey in August. You and I are big sports guys. Yeah. I think the Masters is going to be played sometime in November with no fans. Where's the Azaleas? They're dead and gone, but you know, we'll see Augusta at a different light. The world is really turned upside down, but at least our holidays are still, they haven't moved.
Yeah.
So is this the end of summer? Well, I don't know. How do you define summer? Is this the start of football? Probably not. In some cases, it's been a wild and crazy year.
It has been. I've had some of my friends say to me, can we just X out 2020? Can we just forget it?
But you're the guy of hope. So 2021's going to, everything's going to be fine?
I believe that we'll learn lessons in 2020 like we've never learned them before.
Oh, absolutely.
I know in my own life when I've gone through deep trials and indeed tragedies, they have been the very thing that have driven me into the Lord with a new relationship with Him like never before. So Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was a Russian dissenter, a very famous author, was thrown into the Soviet gulags and stayed there 10 years. Horrific conditions, was ultimately released. And in one of his books thereafter, he wrote, "Thank you, prison." And many of us went, "Thank you, prison? That was one of the most hideous times of your life. How in the world can you thank prison?" And he said, "Because it was in prison where I met Jesus." Where in Mother Teresa language that you never know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you got. It was in prison that Solzhenitsyn met Jesus, and he said, "I entered into a profound, deep relationship with Him, and I realized what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 is true, that Jesus is my sufficiency."
So as we celebrate Labor Day, how do you find Jesus, or how do you find God in your work?
Well, Ed, let's talk about that during the program.
Because I think that's pretty important.
It is important because, you know, we spend what percentage of our lives?
80% of our awakened hours are
in the workplace.
Yeah.
So it's something we have to do in order to survive. But I don't think work is a negative. I don't think it's a curse. I think work is cursed for a lot of different reasons, because we try to find our identity in our work rather than in the Lord. And that causes all kinds of heartache and heartburn within people. But work is a gift from God. God created the idea of work. It's not something that we drummed up. It's not our idea. So if we can recapture during this program God's view of work, I think we can help people be free from a performance-based lifestyle that defines their identity and what they do rather than who they are.
And He gave us the skills and the talents to pursue different vocations or different occupations, and I know you could describe both those words for us here in the show. So then how do we best serve? I can never be a medical doctor. I can never be a scientist. I didn't have those kind of skills, but the skills He did give me allowed me for a great career, and I enjoyed my work,
as you. And you're good at it, and you're good at what you do. Oh, you were great at Frito-Lay. You're doing really some terrific work here locally with another organization, and you're also here at WBT doing a lot of broadcasting work, which was your dream.
And the skills He gave you to preach His word.
Right.
And what a vocation, and how precious that is. So, you know, how do we honor God in the work honoring him the skills that he gave us to do that.
Well, that's what I want to cover today. And if we can begin to realize that every skill we have is a gift, and we're to use those gifts for God's glory, because, you know, Ed, I didn't do anything to earn these public speaking gifts. They're something that was given to me. My dad had that gift. It's a genetic gift, I guess, as well. But ultimately, that comes from God. All of those skills you have in the business community, but also now here in the broadcasting world, are gifts that are given to you. So the question isn't, do we have gifts? Every single one of us has gifts. We're all given a gift. The question is, how do we use those gifts for God's glory and His glory alone? And again, that's what I want to look at this program, this Labor Day weekend. What is labor, and why did God give it to us, and how we can use it for His glory and His glory alone? Ed Billick, my producer, has his open mic. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Happy Labor Day weekend to all of you. Tomorrow, Labor Day. I hope you have a wonderful time with family and friends, maybe a picnic or some kind of outdoor activity so that you can just
enjoy life. Socially distance, keep your mask
course,
on. Not when you're outside.
Well, outside you can have some fun. I did the proper reminder, didn't I, Ed? So that's good. Thank you for that. Well, today we want to talk about God's view of work. Because I think we sometimes have a skewed view of what work really is. Work is a gift from God. It was His idea. So, Ed, let's talk about the beginning of work. It's found in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 in creation. God's the one who did the first work. He created this world. From nothing, He spoke and made this world. He rested on the seventh day after He made it, after He made all the animals, all of creation, all of the order of this world. And why in the world did He rest? Did God need to rest? Of course not. He gave that to us as a model for how we need to rest. One day out of the week, called the Sabbath, means a holy day, a set-apart day, a different kind of day. We need to rest. And folks, listen to me. If you burn the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. That's one of my Davidisms, Ed. Here's another one that God, if you don't want to rust out, make sure you work out. And I think that gives us an idea of how God wants us to use work as a good gift from Him. If you don't come apart, you'll come apart.
You all need rest.
We need that day of rest. So God did that. But then in Genesis 2, He outlines for Adam his work that He had for him twofold. First of all, he had to dress, till, and keep the land. Then secondly, he was to name all the animals. Now, I find that fascinating because God gave Adam two unique responsibilities. Dress, till, and keep the land. That's manual labor. He had to put his fingers in the dirt. He had to plant seeds. He had to oversee the growth of those plants and then ultimately the harvesting of those plants. So manual labor is a good gift from God. So all of our listeners right now who may be carpenters or plumbers or farmers or those kind of things, what you do with your hands, your manual labor, is a good gift from God. But then He turns around and tells Adam to name the animals. That's mental labor. So people ask the question, well, how did a rhinoceros become a rhinoceros? Well, I don't know. He came before Adam, and Adam said, rhinoceros. And an elephant came before him, and he went, elephant. And a hippopotamus came before him. He said, hippopotamus. And so he named all of the animals, but that's mental labor. So all of our listeners right now who do a lot of mental labor, maybe banking, accounting, those kind of things, that's a good gift from God. God wanted labor to be enjoyed. And with Adam, He said, here's the garden. It's paradise. That's what the word Eden means. Work in this garden. Use your manual labor. Use your mental labor, because work is a good gift from God.
And both physical and mental, as you're saying there, but you got to have a combination of both.
Yeah, sometimes people work with their hands and have to do a lot of mental labor at the same time and vice versa.
Well, you get paid for some. Others are chores, you know, things around the house or helping others do things when you volunteer your work. So the combination of the physical and the mental, those are gifts from God.
And He said it's good. He said everything's good. Remember, after He created everything, He looked at it all and said, it's good. It's operating the way I want it to operate. So that includes work, manual and mental labor. God looked at that and said, it's good. You know as well as I do, Ed, how do you feel when you accomplish a task that you start working on and then you finally finish it? How do you feel?
Well, it was just this week. The yard needed mowed, okay? Stuff need branches needed trimmed, and it's getting hot. So I know I got to get out there, got to get it done. So when I finished that, then I got so much energy, I do this and I do that, and I added on a few things that weren't on my to-do list. I know this sounds trivial, but at the end of all that, back in the house taking a shower, I felt great that I got that accomplished, plus some other things, you know, so there's that self-satisfaction thing.
It's supposed to be a part of work, and when we accomplish a chore, it's good. And I've always taught people that in creation, through a physical relationship between a man and a woman, God allows us to experience what it's like to create life, for he is the creator of all life. But interestingly, when we take on a project and we complete that project and we look at it and say, man, that's good, we have a similar kind of feeling that God had in creation after he made everything. He said, it's good. Now, one noted difference, of course, is God created the whole world from nothing. There was nothing that existed. He spoke it into existence and then created everything. The difference being with us, we create from something. You know, a beautiful cabinet has to be created from a tree that God made. So we ultimately give him all the glory, but still we participate with God in creation with a task and finish it and look at it and say, that's good. That's similar to what happened with God himself. So that's why work is good. God allows us to participate in his work.
You have written many books. That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And I can tell you when you type that last word and you put in that last period, there is a sense of, whoo, good, it's done. And that's a wonderful feeling. That's the kind of feeling God wants us to have in every situation. So Martin Luther King said this, if you sweep streets to the glory of God. In other words, no matter what you do, whether you're a janitor or a CEO of a major corporation, you have a job to do. At the end of that job, when you've completed it, it should allow you to feel good because you've participated in a good gift from God, accomplishing something he wants you to accomplish. There's no task that's too menial. There's no task that's too great. God is a part of all of that because he is the one who created work. And another thing that Paul does in Colossians 3, he asks this question, who's your boss? Who's your boss? And he says, do all unto the glory of God. If we go into our workplace, no matter where it may be, and we realize we're not working for man, but for the Lord, we see work as his call unto us, and we're working for him, then somehow work takes on a new significance, doesn't it? Because we're working to the one who is the ultimate creator of all work in heaven.
We had a driver in upstate New York who would come back off of his runs, and he'd be out for, you know, 6, 8, 10 hours, and he'd come back to the terminal. He says, well, I did it for God today. I do it for God all the time. He goes, yeah, you guys may be my boss, but my real boss is up there. And yes, I need his protection driving the big rig, you know, on the crazy roads and being safe. But I did it for him. Wow. And I felt great because I did it for him.
That's a great illustration.
He was a blessed man, I tell you.
Oh, that's a great illustration. I remember another friend of mine who used to say all the time, what do I do? Well, I'm a full-time servant of the Lord Jesus, and I sell insurance to help me allow to do that. And I think that's a great statement because he sees himself as a follower of the Lord, but then he works as a way of expressing that love that he has for the Lord. So his identity isn't found in his work. It's found in his relationship with the Lord.
And many folks, especially those that come from other countries, they work for their families back at the other, you know, relatives, you know, to help feed, not only provide for their family, so you're providing for others. So there's a blessing there that the Lord gives you, so you're enabling your earnings to help others.
Well, you know, Ed, not trying to be too political, but during this time period when the United States is being condemned for its capitalistic views, the truth is capitalism is the greatest wealth producer the world has ever known. Capitalism also is the greatest lifter out of poverty that the world has ever known. So as we really do promote the work ethic and what hard work can produce, we're giving people a chance to lift their families out of poverty and then for the next generation, give them a chance to keep moving upward in order to have all that this life is supposed to give us. So work becomes a good thing. And I think our work in this culture that allows people to go after whatever their dream may be becomes especially good. That's what God desires. And I've heard some people argue with the whole Marxist idea that's now being put before us. You know, we're not supposed to own private property. Well, if we're not supposed to own private property, how come two of the Big Ten commandments have to do with private property? First of all, don't steal and don't covet. If stealing's bad, it means you're stealing somebody else's private property. If you're coveting somebody else's possessions, you're coveting somebody else's private property. And God says, don't do that. Private property ownership is key because it is the result of hard work. And hard work, again, is a gift from God. So then comes the question, and we'll explore this in greater depth in the next segment. Well, what happened? What went wrong? Well, you have creation, Genesis 1 and 2, and God saying everything's good, including labor, manual and mental labor. It's all good. But in Genesis 3, in the rebellion against God, something awful happened. And everything in this world has become infected with a disease called sin. It's called self-sufficiency. It's called self-aggrandizement. It is self-worship. It's idolatry. And that includes work. And actually, in Genesis 3, God even addresses that with the man. He says, you know, because of sin, you're going to toil and labor and sweat, and you're not going to find meaning in this life. What God is saying here is the sin that's been introduced into the world through work is that we try to find our identity in our work. We work these long, hideous hours trying to accumulate more and more so that the world will look at us and say, hey, you're successful. You're something else. And we try to find then our identity in our work, in what we do rather than who we are. And that's one of the great diseases of the American culture. Work has become sin-stained, and people now work for their bosses, trying to impress their bosses, and not the ultimate boss in heaven who really is their boss. We constantly, through our performance mentality, want the approval of others. And if you're a people pleaser trying to find your identity in your work and the approval of your boss, you're going to be forever frustrated because they're using you to get what they want, and that's the profit, the bottom line, and increase their own success in the world. So what we want to look at when we come back is what Jesus does to our understanding of the work ethic, what Jesus does to set us free from that performance-based living, what Jesus does to give us hope, not in our work, but in His work for us and what He's done for us. Once we know that, we realize our identity is in Him, and then we work in our jobs as an outgrowth of who He is in us. So once we get that down, we can really celebrate Labor Day. We can understand God's purpose in labor, and we can be set free from a performance-based mentality that ultimately enslaves us and is never satisfied. We'll look at that in just a moment. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. We'll be right back.
We are many, yet we are one.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to this show. Happy Labor Day weekend to all of you. I hope tomorrow is filled with fun, family, fellowship, all those things that are really, really important. Labor Day was established for the purpose of celebrating work in our culture because in our capitalistic society, we believe that people can go after whatever they want to go after, and hard work usually brings great benefits. If you'd like to hear this program in its entirety, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, to the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear the program from beginning to end as I try to help all of us appreciate God's good gift of labor. Ed Billick, my producer and friend, has his open mic. And Ed, I was talking about before we left just the whole idea of work being a good gift from God in original intent in creation, but it became filled with sin. And what's happened is men and women are trying to find their identity in their work. They're sweating their brow, they're working so hard, and they're never fulfilled inside. They're always depressed. And God doesn't want work to be our identity. That's how sin has entered the workplace.
Well, what happens, and you talk this a lot, David, is the whole thing of ego, where you're edging God out, and it's more about you than about the Lord in their work. And, yeah, you know, there's a lot of egomaniacs out,
yeah,
there,
but
in the workplace.
But God intended work to be good, and for those of us who know that Jesus completed the work of our identity on the cross, that when he died for the forgiveness of our sins, then fills us with the Holy Spirit, we understand that we're now children of God again. We're restored to original intent like Adam was, that we're just dearly loved by the Father in heaven. And our identity is found in that love relationship with the Father and not in our work. Our identity is found not in our performance and our work in the work world. It's found in the Lord. Then we're asked the question, well, what place does work have in the life of a person who is a follower of God? And the answer is, well, let me ask you a question. Where is your mission field, folks? And here's the answer. It's between your feet. It's wherever you are. If you're exercising in a exercise class, well, that's your mission field. If you are in your workplace at your desk or doing errands or doing different kinds of responsibilities, wherever you are God's representative for his love in that workplace. So you're constantly, hopefully, extending the love of the Father to everyone around you and trying to make your workplace a better place to live. So let me give another illustration that I've used before, Ed, that I think would be helpful. It's interesting that when the whole idea of the Christian faith overtook the Roman Empire, there was a change in an understanding of work. And Paul really addresses that almost in Colossians 3 when he says, as you work, work unto the Lord, not unto yourself. In other words, don't find your identity in your work. Find it in him and realize that God is your boss and you're following him in every possible way. So as you enter into your workforce, you realize that it is a vocation. It's a calling. And that word vocation comes from the Latin word voxa, the same word we get voice from, vocal cords. That is a calling that God has given to you. So if you work for a company here in Charlotte, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, some other place, you are God's representative in that particular workplace. That is your vocation. That's your calling. And if he wanted you someplace else, you'd be someplace else. I have people ask me all the time, well, why am I working at such and such a place? Well, you're working there because that's obviously where God's called you. And if he wanted you in a different position, he'll call you to a different position. But interestingly, over the years, over the centuries, especially when the Industrial Revolution happened in America and the assembly lines occurred, people started gathering together to work on an assembly line, and they'd simply add a piece to a project and never see the completion. Remember how we said in the first segment, a part of work is seeing the completed task, but people never saw the completed task. They were just part of an assembly line. Interestingly, the word vocation changed on forms to occupation. So work became not a calling, but simply something that occupied your time for 8 hours a day, maybe from 9 to 5, maybe in the evening from 7 until whenever. It's just something that occupied your time. So people became bored with their work. Work became drudgery. People really didn't like it. And they've missed the whole idea of a calling from God. Your mission field's between your feet. God's your boss. No matter where you are, you're working and serving for his glory and his glory alone. Martin Luther King quote, if you sweep streets, be a street sweeper for the glory of God. And people have lost that because they now see their work as an occupation, as drudgery, as ho-hum. I've got to go to work today.
And then the lack of self-satisfaction and all that came out of it. We had a leader of PepsiCo back in the day, who's a Frito-Lay guy, Roger Enrico. He said, you know, they pay me for my arms and legs. They never use my mind, and they get it for free. And that's where people then start becoming involved in the workplace, because everyone had a mind or a gift from God, but they were never used. They were occupying their time on an assembly line.
Yeah, and you know, Bach, the famous composer, put at the bottom of his works these three initials, SDG. And for years, no one knew exactly what SDG meant. But interestingly, Bach, as a person of faith, had reasons for doing that. That SDG were the three Latin words, soli Deo gloria, which means to God alone belongs the glory. So what he was doing is saying, this gift of music is a gift from God. I didn't do anything to earn it. It's a gift from God. So when he wrote a masterpiece, he would put at the bottom SDG to remind him and everybody that all he had was a gift from God. This musical piece was a gift from God. That's a good reminder for all of us. We need to realize